Good morning to you all, and welcome, and thank you for coming along to our Sunday service this morning. If Emmanuel is new to you, please make yourselves known after our service this morning, as we always welcome new and friends. The Bible reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, and there's no further announcements at the moment. So I shall now light our Christ candle whilst we have a few moments for quiet thinking as we begin our time together.
Good morning and welcome all of you to our service this day, the first day of the month of August. To those of you who felt that because of what we are going through, time doesn't go very quickly, well, we're in August already. And believe it or not, yesterday on a Facebook page I got, somebody said, have you thought of your Christmas presents yet? If you haven't, here is an offer for you. So I just wanted to share the good news. Christmas is round a few corners away, and people are already offering their wares. We gather for worship as part of God's people. God's people here, God's people of the partnership, but God's people everywhere, with different time zones, with different languages, with different ways, but we are God's family, diverse in God's generosity, and we celebrate that today. In the Gospel of John, we read these words said by Jesus. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Life to the world. In that gift, we rejoice today. Remember that if you do it slowly, you can sing behind your masks. You have three hymns, and Jeff playing the organ, not only for entry and exit, but leading us in our worship. For the moment, at least, the CDs are taking a rest, which I'm sure you'll all enjoy and thank them for what they helped us, but that the organ is playing and guiding us through the hymns, I'm sure you will also welcome. If you are able to stand for the singing of the hymns, please do. Now thank we all our God.
We have an additional reading this morning. It's an adaptation of Psalm 78, an adaptation by, I believe, an Anglican priest, Malcolm Gait, who has adapted all of the Psalms in the Bible, 150 of them, in a very remarkable fashion. This is just an extract of Psalm 78. He led me out of darkness into light, and now I will proclaim all he has done to rising generations. My delight will be to share the story of the one who came to me before I came to him, whose love still greets me with each rising sun. But neither will I hide my sin and shame, the many times that I refused his grace and turned my back on him, forgot his name, and sought my former darkness, turned my face away from my Redeemer. I'll confess my own perversity and dare to trace my willful trespass in the wilderness, and how through all of this my Lord stayed true and pulled me through with patient tenderness.
Thank you, Steve, very much. He called me through with patient tenderness. Malcolm Gait is amazing. This book has just come out during Corona time, and it's called David's Crown. And it's a play on words of the Psalms written by David, but also the crown of the Corona virus. And he's rewritten the Psalms. And the amazing thing is the last word of each psalm, the last sentence of each psalm, is the first sentence of the next psalm. And when he gets to Psalm 150, the last sentence of Psalm 150 is the first sentence of Psalm number 1. And so what he's trying to show us is the connection, the thread. He is a gifted man, and all of them are written in sonnets. If you go back home and read Psalm 78, you realize it's much longer than what Steve has just read for us. But he has that capacity of having the right words, a real and true gift that he shares. We share this time our prayer of adoration, thanksgiving, and confession, and we will end this with the words of the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. To you who chose to create and saw that it was good. To you, O God, who called us to share with you in the task, who gave us originally the task of naming, and by naming, giving an identity to all that you had made. To you, who at the right time, when things had gone beyond our understanding and our capacities, chose to send your Son to him who taught us how to pray, how to walk, how to trust, how to forgive, how to love, and before leaving promised us the Spirit, which came to make us the true faithful church. To you, dear God, our praise today. Thank you. Thank you that we can take a day where things are different, to sing, to listen, to stop, to rest, to reflect. Thank you that you yourself chose a day, and the things weren't complete until you had taken that day, that we can gather here today, that we can be aware and sure of your people gathered everywhere, those that gather at one place and those who follow at a distance. We give you thanks. We worship you. We love you. We confess as well that we live in a world where not everybody has that possibility of stopping, that possibility of admiring your creation, of feeling part of it. For those who don't have the time to rest, for those, O Lord, who live in a world that is unfair, unjust, oppressive, fearful. O Lord, there are many. We live in a world in which there is still slave labor. We live in a world where people don't know what will be today or tomorrow, how they will eat, where they will sleep. We live in a world where this too often is just the accepted way, and we know, dear God, that that way is not your way. Give us eyes to see and a heart that beats rapidly, that prays and believes that that which is wrong can be changed. So in your grace, forgive us for taking things for granted. Forgive us when we stop and don't acknowledge. Forgive us for forgetting that you are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Forgive us, dear God, and when we are forgiven, allow us to be forgiving of ourselves, of those around us, and work together to continue the task by which you saw the world and said it was good. Grant us your peace and remind us again that we are your children. When we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we now hear the reading for this morning.
So it's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one with another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure and the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paddy, very much. If anybody ever thought that Paul was somewhat convoluted, today you have a good example of that convolution, if that is the right word. But don't try and understand all of it. I think the importance is to get the big picture of what he's talking about. And then you begin to discover that according to what way you enter, there are various big pictures. But the question is, have we grown up? It's not an offensive question, or it's not intentionally an offensive question, but it is a question inviting us to understand our journey of faith. Have we grown up? And it's not my question. It's a question that's in the Bible reading. And if you have your order of service, you see that I will have highlighted in the order of service, in the reading, those two statements of growing up. But let me begin with a very simple exercise, which involves us all. And what I am going to ask is a few questions, very simple questions, and just a show of hands. You can decide to leave your hand up if you want, put it down, ready for the next one. But when you do, take a look at what's happening around you. Raise your hand if you regularly pray for the church and the world. Okay, there we are. Thank you. Raise your hand if at some time of your life you have sung in a choir, be the children's choir, the grown-up choir. Okay. Good. Raise your hand if at some time in your life you have made the flower arrangements or distributed the flowers after the service. Raise your hand if at some time you have been an elder or are currently an elder. Oh, take a look at the ones who haven't, because the next list we'll know who to ask then. Raise your hand if you would consider yourself a welcoming person to others. Or let's put it another way. If you don't close the door on somebody's face, is that okay? Raise your hand if at any time you have provided for the food bank in the box we have here. And finally, raise your hand if at any time you have raised your hand more than twice. Okay, fine, just, that's good. That sums up the first part of the reading, the gifts that have been distributed. Because in our Reformed tradition, one of the main characteristics is the universality of the ministry of the people of God, not of the guy that stands here or there. We have all been called to the ministry. And this is what Paul is talking about here, to different people, different gifts. And we cannot be church, and these are just random examples, without this happening. Flower arrangements, food bank, talents for eldership, decorating the church, singing, praying. Try and imagine a church with those things missing. We could have a really good social society. We could have a community event place, but would it be a church? By what you can see, if you did turn around, is that we have a community where probably all of you present have picked up on some form of the gifts of the Spirit. And that's good. It really is important. Because according to the author of the letter of Ephesians, he has a suspicion. And this is very early on in the life of the church. And then tell me, just nod your heads if you don't want to say it out loud, if this suspicion isn't still alive, that sooner or later, the community that he and we call the church could develop the comfortable syndrome. And the comfortable syndrome is when it first appeared in Exodus, very early on in the Bible, where things weren't as bad. We were better off in Egypt. Remember, the food was really good. Yeah, we had to work a little few extra hours, but the food, the stew was magnificent. Rubbish. Rubbish. Exodus 3 says, I've heard the voice of my people crying out to me, says God, and I've descended to liberate them. None of that was true. But the comfortable syndrome is the one by which people will sit back and wait for others to do it. Preferably God, but if God doesn't do it, well, somebody else will do it. And that, the author of Ephesians, is warning the church that could be the beginning of its end. And I think it's still there. The risk is still there. And that's why he is inviting people to grow up. To grow up. It's there in the reading. To consider the place, the participation, the growth of the body of Christ in the world. And whether we accept it or not, we are part of the body of Christ in the world. And the body won't grow if the body grows unevenly. In other words, how have we grown up? How are we living our faith? Now, this passage is a very well-known one. One faith, one God. You've heard this many times. But it's also a reminder of how we are interconnected. One faith, one body. We are interconnected. It's not a faith for Emmanuel or for Highworth, for Christ Church, for Bath Road. Different from each other. Not long ago, I was zooming the General Assembly of the United Reformed Church. And I said to you the Sunday afterwards, there were 233 people as delegates. On Zoom, little squares, yes. But we were all involved in it. That was the United Reformed Church, struggling to be a more faithful church. The whole text is a reminder of our connection one with another, and that is essential to the letter to the Ephesians. The intergenerational connection, our growing up in the gifts and calling as children of God, expressed in the wonderfully challenging words, speaking the truth in love. And there is nothing more complicated than to speak and often to hear the truth in love. But it is a mark of growing up. With the reading, it clearly says, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, of which we are part, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Go back. That's why you have an order of service that you can take home. Go through the reading again. This is not something that involves us as individuals alone. It is something that as individuals, we are part of something greater. We are knitted together, promoting the growth of the body. We probably got to an age where we don't remember what growing up was like, because we look back and say, well, we've been grown up for a long time. But growing up is not easy. It's never easy. It's not even easy when we get to the age we are, because we are still growing up. We probably got to the stage where we can't do what we thought we could do a year ago. Some of us are experiencing that now. But is it any different from what it was being 12 or 13? If there's one age I don't want to go back to, is 25. God help me from going back to 25. It wasn't the best year of my life in any way. Don't like it. I don't know if it was the worst, but it's in my mind. I don't want to go back there. And it was, but I was still growing up. I shaved by then. But I was beginning to have to take decisions, responsibilities in a way that, heavens, what happens? And it says here, growing up, because the reading says we can no longer be children. And that's where it's fun sometimes. Somebody else will pick up the toys, won't they? Until we're put on the naughty step. But somebody else will pick up the stove. Somebody else will make the bed. I remember having discussions with my sister over the weekends. One had to clear the table, one had to wash up. And then we negotiated who enjoyed washing up. We used to take it in turns, but we enjoyed one thing more than another. So we negotiated, and one did the washing up, one did the drying up and putting away, and that was happy. But that was growing up, because before we didn't have to do it. Growing up is taking decisions, responsibility. It's complicated. But how have we grown up in the journey of faith? Growing up implies accepting that there is still lots to discover. Have we learned everything there is to learn? I pray to God that that's not the case. I hope that there are many things that we are yet to discover, things that will be changing. We are getting into that stage of what our life as a church is going to be in the next month or so. Will it be the same as it was 18 months ago? I pray it isn't. I pray that there are some things that will be different. How are we going to cope with it? The world is far more diverse than we ever imagined. Growing up reminds us that we aren't the center of the universe. Or we've met somebody else who believes they're just as much center of the universe as we are. And that can cause a bit of trouble. Different as we may be, we have all been called to play a part in the body of Christ, where Christ is the head. Growing up is to recognize that the building, this can only be done through love. And love is not a word we say if we don't mean it. But we live in a world where it commercializes that word too much. It's remembering that each person has different gifts, and we are amazed by the gifts of the other person. And we know well enough in this church, as in any church you've been to, that when you go and say to somebody, that was really good, thank you for that, they kind of step back. Oh, that was nothing. Oh, it's nothing to you that knows how to do it. It's nothing to you because you enjoy doing it. But to somebody who doesn't know how to do it, it's amazing. And if people say thank you, take it gracefully. They're doing it in love. And it's a teaching process. Growing up is to recognize that the world evolves constantly, that there are new challenges, new realities, new way of doing things, that the visions of the past may not be the visions of the future. But we are all called to live our faithfulness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And when was the last time you individually thought of this process of growing up? Do you still answer the questions with the same answers you gave 20 or 30 years ago? Do we as a church get away with things because we have the answer to that? We don't. It always has to be a new answer, or else we become irrelevant. Years back, and I'm getting to the end, years back, there was this poster, some of you may have seen. Three monkeys, three monkeys sitting on a branch, on a stone, I can't remember. And the phrase was, as soon as I learned all the answers, somebody came along and changed all the questions. Haven't you ever felt that way? You think you have all the answers, and then the questions are totally different questions. And I just wonder if the church doesn't get into that syndrome sometimes. But this is not a beating up session. This is a challenging. This is what the Bible says. It's growing up. We continue to grow up. We may not like the new questions, but we can't deny that they exist, and we will have to answer them. How do we make our faith relevant without answering the questions that people are asking? Because it does happen. There are new questions being asked, environmental questions. We can't ignore the fact that the environment is not something that has happened in the Antarctic or the Arctic. It's happened in London last Monday last week. It's happened in Germany. It's happened in Belgium. 150 people dead in Germany because of the floods, the fires. That's not something happening. What are we saying? Justice questions. The Lifeboat Institute was criticized because it was picking people up in the channel. And they said, that's our mission. And in one day, they got 200,000 pounds extra than they usually get because people said, we want you to do what you were doing. How do we respond to that? We may not like the question, but what does faith say to these questions? There are gender issues, economic issues, human rights questions. Growing up is hard, but we have to do it. The world needs us to grow up and provide the good news. In a few moments, we'll be singing, and one of the hymns, it's the last hymn, "Let His Children All Join Hands and Be One with the Right Hand of God." Let His Children, it's the last hymn, we've got another one before that. "Let His Children All Join Hands and Be One with the Right Hand of God." We are His children growing up. And when you get home, if you have the on your computer or phone the text that I've just been sharing with you, there are two photographs. Look at them and see how you can connect. Where are you in those photographs of knitting together that which is the growth of the body of Christ? And to God be the glory. Amen. Make me a channel of your peace. As you're standing, we dedicate the offering and we share the words of the grace once this is done. O Lord, for what we have received and what we can share, we have received your grace, your love, the reminder that we are part of the body, your children, that what we can share may show to the world that light, that hope, that need of being knitted together. So receive the offering, multiply it according to the needs you see, give wisdom to those who have to decide how to use it, and to us, a grateful heart. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. I'm sure each and every one of you... Oh, prayers of intercession. Oh, yes, it's the first Sunday. Thank you, Liz. I'd forgotten all about it if you hadn't woke up.
Please join with me in your thoughts and hearts as I commence our prayers of intercession. As we sit here peacefully alongside others we know, we wonder where to start. It is easy to feel overwhelmed by the needs of our world. Some of us can be pragmatic, while some of us take time to accept what is in front of us. Lord, fill us with a sense of peace and openness to lay out in front of you in faith and hope the needs of our world. Let us pray for the peace of the world, for statesmen and rulers, that they may have wisdom to know and courage what to do is right, for all who work to improve international relationships, that they may find the true way to reconcile people of different race, colour, and creed. And for men and women the world over, that they may have justice and freedom and live in security and peace. Let us pray for wise stewardship of our world. Help us to see beyond the confusion and to be able to make small changes as well as supporting the greater changes that we face to ensure a better future for us all. Help us to learn more about the world and not to tire in the pursuit of caring for our environment. It is your world in which we live, created with amazing biodiversity, detail, and intricacy. Never let us lose sight of its beauty and wonder. Let us pray for our town, for local leaders, for councillors, managers, and support workers, for charities, for businesses, social services, schools, and health workers. They've all been stretched over the last year or so. We ask that they may have strength to continue, have compassion and integrity. We pray for newcomers to our town, families, the retired, refugees, and those in search of work. We pray for those who no longer have a job here and hope that they will still feel that they have a home amongst us. Let us pray for the church. Help us to be open and prepared to change. Help us to follow our journey with you with hope and love, even when the doubts creep in. Help us to question and see you, Lord, in this ever-changing world. Help us to look for the good. We remember the churches of Swindon and especially the Old Town Partnership as we move in new directions. We also keep Highworth in our thoughts as they face challenges and choices. Finally, let us pray for those we know personally and for ourselves. We remember those who are grieving and have lost loved ones, for those who are fearful of the future due to poor health, those who feel they have run out of steam, and for those who are frustrated with the slowness of change. We pray for those made anxious by the pandemic and those whose lives have changed for the worse due to it. We pray for the world we thought we knew and pray for the world that is the now as well as the future. Daunting though this may be, let us look optimistically and hopefully towards the new day. Help us to move in faith onwards. Healing, gladdening, inspiring and loving Lord, be with us today and always. Amen.
Thank you so much, Liz. We close with our last hymn. Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us.
Thank you.
God has promised to be with us every day until the end of all times. And with this promise, we live each day. So as we leave here now, go in that promise. Go in the assurance that God will walk with us and with God's children everywhere. And may the peace of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, with those we find so difficult to love, and with God's people everywhere. Amen.